George was the last to come down, and even so, he stopped on the stairs for a minute. They were almost ready. He saw the housemaid cross the hall with a salt cellar, caught the odour of cooked fish, heard Cecil's high, overriding laugh, and felt the chill of his own act of daring, bringing this man into his mother's house. Then he thought of what Cecil had said to him in the park, in the half-hour they made for themselves by pretending he'd missed his train, and he felt his scalp, his shoulders, his whole spine prickle under the sweeping secret promise. He tiptoed down and slipped into the drawing room with a nearly dizzy-making sense of the dangers ahead. "Ah, George," murmured his mother with a hint of reproach. He shrugged and smirked slightly, as if his only offence had been to keep them waiting. Hubert, with his back to the empty grate, had ensnared them all in talk about local transport.
"So you were stranded at Harrow and Wildstone, eh?"
He beamed over his raised champagne glass, as proud of the rigours of life in Stanmore as he was of the blessings. "Didn't matter a bit," said Cecil, catching George's eye and smiling curiously. "As a wit once said, it sounds like some medieval torture. Harrow and Wildstone. Can't you just see it?"
"Oh, spare me the Wildstone," said Daphne.
"We're devoted to Harrow and Wildstone, whatever a wit may have said," said his mother.